From these examples, it should be clear that poetry is better adapted to the representation of movement than is the sister art of painting, and therefore better adapted to the representation of time. Perhaps the reason why so few images came to me when I started thinking of the image of the hourglass was that I expected them to come from the visual arts rather than from the performing arts, or those arts which exist in time rather than in space, and which include literature considered as that which is not only written but also read, whether aloud or to oneself. Such being the case, it was not surprising that following on the quotations from the English poets, there should come into my mind ideas about time from Buddhist literature, rather than images of time from the Buddhist visual arts. It indeed would appear that in the Buddhist visual arts, images of time hardly exist. The demon who grasps the Tibetan wheel of life represents impermanence rather than time. And that in Buddhist culture, time has not been personified, even to the extent that it has been personified in the classical and Judeo-Christian cultures of the West. The only really noteworthy personification of time that came to me from Eastern sources came not from Buddhism at all, but from Hinduism. It came from the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in the course of which Sri Krishna reveals himself to Arjuna as time, the all-destroyer, down whose flaming gullet disappears not only the entire human race, but everything in the universe. But however deficient Buddhism may be in images of time, it is certainly not lacking in ideas about time. Buddhism itself could be described as a meditation on time, or on impermanence. It could perhaps be argued that in Buddhism, these two concepts are not distinguished in quite the same way that they are in the West, or as a reflection on the shortness and uniqueness of human life. Allusions to time occur even more frequently in Buddhist literature, both canonical and non-canonical, than they do in English poetry. And if I was to reproduce here all the quotations that came to me from this source, as I thought of the image of the hourglass, they would take up quite a disproportionate amount of space in this paper. Let me therefore quote just one passage as an example of the kind of ideas to which I refer. It is a passage from the Sutra of 42 sections, renowned as the first Buddhist scripture to be rendered into Chinese. The Buddha said to a novice, "How long is the span of a man's life?" "It is but a few days," was the answer. The Buddha said, "You have not understood," and asked another novice, who replied, "It is like the time taken to eat a single meal." To this the Buddha replied in the same way, and asked a third, "How long is the span of a man's life?" "It's like the time taken by a single breath," was the reply. "Excellent," said the Buddha, "you understand the way." Translating this idea into the language of the images and symbols of St. Jerome's study, one could say that the span of human life is not a few days, nor even like the time taken by the sands to trickle to one chamber of the hourglass from the other, but like the time taken by the falling of a single grain of sand. Man, therefore, has no time to waste. It is not enough for him to pursue his distinctively human activities, not enough for him to pursue them in ever higher and more refined forms. He must pursue them with full awareness that time is passing, and in the knowledge that unless he works unremittingly, he will not be able to bring them to a successful conclusion. If the hourglass is not a universal image, the skull most certainly is. With its empty eye sockets and its grinning jaw, it is indeed one of the most universal and the most powerful evocative of all images, and its significance can be understood immediately. having come from Rome to Bethlehem, to the desert, and having taken up the work of translating the Bible into the vulgar tongue at a comparatively advanced age, St. Jerome is not only acutely aware of the passing of time, but also aware of the fact that, for mortal men, the passing of time inevitably brings death. Time and death are inseparable, and for this reason, hourglass and skull usually stand side by side on the shelf in St. Jerome's study, where he can see them all the time, and from whence they admonish him, in the words of one of those classical authors that he loved too well, that art is long and human life is short. Ars longer, vita breve.